And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us for a Super Bowl edition of Sports Byline USA. We're in downtown San Francisco, the game being played about 45 miles to the south to Santa Clara and coming up on Sunday. And I can't think of a better way for us to kick off our broadcast here than to talk to a guy that I used to watch as a kid, because I was born in Washington, D.C., and over at RFK Stadium, John Riggins is with us here, Hall of Fame running back. He played 15 years in the NFL, five with the Jets, who drafted him as the first running back in the 71 draft, and then, of course, the rest with the Washington Redskins. And after becoming a free agent, he played 10 years, as I said, with the Redskins. And career-wise, he rushed for 11,352 yards and 104 touchdowns. I've got to ask you a question. I do this tongue-in-cheek, John. Do you wake up in the middle of the night screaming Jack Squirek's name?
No, but it's interesting you bring this up, Ron, because there's been dreams I've had where I'm my age. I haven't had one for a while, but I have. I'm 76, so somewhere between 70. I have a dream that I'm still playing, and that I'm killing it. I'm killing it, and halfway through the dream, I realize I haven't signed a contract. I'm not getting paid. It's a nightmare, not a dream. I mean, the killing it part was a dream. Then when I realized I'm not getting paid, it was like, what the hell did I get into here? But, yeah, no, I will say this, though, in answer to your question. Unfortunately for me, and that was the last Super Bowl I played in, and we got to, it was the second one, you know, we played that one, the one before 17, then we played in 18. And I kind of started thinking that, oh, this is the way, you know, the way that people live, is, you know, the playoffs, Super Bowls and all that. And I remember thinking afterwards, after getting beat, I said, because I was thinking to myself, well, we'll be back here next year. No big deal. I'm not necessarily Tampa. And then you realize, you look back and you're like, no, that's the last shot you got. And, you know, you feel it wasn't a good, it's one of, you're supposed to, Jack Squirek, not him necessarily, but the Oakland Raiders is like, they kind of ruined my day that day. Yeah. So
I might point out for those people who are too young or don't realize what I was talking about.
Well, they'd be too young, most of them.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. It was just before halftime, I believe, and Joe threw out to the left side. Jack Squirek, the linebacker, swung over, intercepted, and ran it in for a touchdown.
Let me tell you a little story about that. What I think to be true, but as I have to tell people, I was never a student of the game, and I was definitely not in on the passing game. I came out, if you recall, on third down. When it was third and long, it was third and short, I stayed in. But earlier that year, we played the Raiders at RFK, and we beat them. And part of the reason we beat them is because that same play that Joe called in the Super Bowl, he called in that day at RFK, and Joe Washington ran the ball almost down to the goal line, or down to the goal. I don't think he scored a touchdown, but we ended up scoring, and that was the difference in that game. And I'm shocked because, well, Joe was a fairly new coach at that point. He's only, this is his third year as a head coach. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But the one thing I learned in the NFL, you fool a defense once, throw that play away. It ain't going to work a second time. And it didn't.
You know, the thing I've always respected you for, and I've been around this game watching it as a sportscaster for a long time, is the 15 years. I don't know how you did that, because you were a power back that ran between the tackles and everything. Was there a particular secret to your longevity in the game?
Well, first, let me say this. You forget, Ron, that I took a year off.
That's right.
I didn't play 19
days.
It's actually 14 years.
Right, but you were in the associated with the league for 15 in one form or
another. Yeah. But I guess what I was going to say was that, well, in my observation, what I think, and it can't only be that, I was extremely talented. That's all I can tell you. I mean, and also very lucky. Very lucky I didn't get a critical injury. I did mess up my left knee in 1977 down in Dallas, but it was strained ligaments, and I didn't have to have surgery. So a lot of luck, and I was pretty supremely talented. I have to toot my own horn and tell the truth about that.
Oh, that's very true. Tell me your favorite story about the Hogs.
Well, I can't tell you any stories about the Hogs, because the best stories were in the shed where we were drinking beer after practice. Yeah, no, we got to a point where Joe told us, hey, guys, it's kind of getting out of hand out there after practice. So I said, don't worry about it, Joe. I got this. It's under control. So we moved the shed down about 20 or 30 yards and resumed. And he was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? But he had, you know, he had his running back and the guys that blocked for him in there. It's kind of like he didn't have too many ways he could go with that, so he let it slide.
Who was the leader of the pack of the Hogs?
Russ Grimm, without a doubt. In fact, I was the president of the Hogs, or not the Hogs, but the 5 o'clock club is what I was referring to. We had a little thing. Vince Lombardi started the 5 o'clock club years ago up in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, where they used to go to training camp. But Russ, then, and I was the president of the 5 o'clock club when we were there, and then actually when I left, then Russ became the president. So, and that's the little social club, like I said, that we had.
You know, the thing I find interesting is the fact I knew the personality of the Washington Redskins, like yourself and the other guys you had on there, a little bit like the Raiders were on the West Coast. You know, those were a bunch of guys that were a different breed as
Absolutely.
Well. And I'm just wondering how Joe Gibbs, who is a kind of straight arrow type
yes.
of guy, how that worked and why it worked.
Well, all I can say is Joe knew what he was doing. He knew offense. He didn't claim to know defense, even though to basically dissect an offense, defense, you got to know offensively how to do that. And he let Richie Pettibone take care of the defense. And he let the coaches do what they did, I think. And as far as the rowdiness of the players, you know, we all, what do you call it, knew when it was time to do what we had to do, and I think he sensed that. There were times when he felt like, hey, guys, you're getting a little bit too far, and he'd have to reel us back in a little bit. But he always had, you know, he had great instincts, and he always had his finger on the pulse when it comes to stuff like that. And I'll add a little bit. At halftime, a lot of times when we go in and we might be behind, it was like being in a business meeting. It was really exactly, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, this is where the week, and they're going to do it. And you walked out of there going, okay, let's go. It was never like, you know, hang dog, like, oh, God. And there were times we went in there and he'd say, God damn it. No, he didn't say that. He did not say that. I apologize, Joe. But he would say, doggone it. You guys have got to get your heads out of your rear ends and get out there and play football. Yeah, we get a little of that every once in a while.
You know, I was born in Washington, D.C., but moved around the country. My dad was in the military and everything. But my connection, because I worked at the Washington Post when I got out of high school and everything, RFK Stadium, George Preston Marshall, the band, the fans and everything. Tell me a little bit about that franchise.
Well, my recollection is, and I think the best way to tell this, what I think is, Dallas Cowboys, late January 1983, championship game. Actually, it started the game before that, the Minnesota game. And when we beat Minnesota to advance to the championship game, now we had the home field advantage throughout the playoffs. At the end of that game, Ron, the fans started bouncing up, and I don't know if you ever saw it or maybe you was there. They started bouncing up and down, and I swear, I was on the field. I said, somebody's going to get hurt. The bleachers, they're going to collapse. And they never did. Then, so fast forward to the next week, and it was when we were coming out of the tunnel to start the game, they were doing the same thing. And by then, I was going to go, well, I think it's going to be all right. But, I mean, you talk about a group of fans that were ready to play, that loved their franchise. That was the town. I know there's a lot of them around the country. They're not unique in that sense, but they're great fans, and they've done a lot for me, that's for sure.
I don't think there is a more unique division in football than the NFC East.
I have to agree with you.
And I think of the great rivalries, Philadelphia-Washington,
right.
Dallas-Washington, Thanksgiving Day, of course,
right.
New York Giants-Washington and everything. Were you with the team when they used to travel from Washington to Philadelphia by train to play that game?
I did do it one time.
Yeah.
We did do it later on in my – well, Gibbs would have been the coach then.
Yeah.
I remember doing that once.
Because I found that fascinating that a football team would be traveling up there. And there's no way to describe – what the rivalries were and what the atmosphere was like in those rivalry games in this NFC. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. And from a running back, this is a running back's perspective on things. Playing in that division, I don't know what their pass defenses are like, but those run defenses that the Eagles, the Giants, and the Cowboys, hey, if you had a decent game against those guys, you knew you'd done something. Now, I have to say this, and no offense to him, but there was a team called the St. Louis Cardinals.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you had a great game against the Cardinals, it was like, well, you better have a great game against the Cardinals because they're not that good. But, yeah, those were, and I've always felt that way, that NFC East, and for a while there, those teams were going back and forth to the Super Bowl. Philly kind of started it. Well, yeah, during the 80s, I think there was Dallas, and you had Philadelphia was there in the early 80s, Washington a couple times, three times actually.
We only have a minute left, but I'm sure in your long 15-year career, besides winning the Super Bowl, you had an aha moment. What was that for you, John?
Well, I'll tell you, it gets back to what I've been saying this whole interview, trying to anyway, is that, and we don't have a lot of time, but I got the fans gave me so much back. And I got an ovation after that Minnesota game that lives with me today. In fact, when I say it, I still get the goosebumps because Gibbs had pulled me out of the game just so the fans could acknowledge what I'd done for them that day. And that, to me, is like I tell people, the fans were my PEDs. Without them in the stands, I mean, football's okay, but I ain't a guy that will play football with no fans in the stands. I don't love it that much. It's great. The NFL is a great organization. But now that was that's kind of about it.
The one thing I'll say about you, having watched you as a youngster and also just over your career as a sportscaster, passion. You played this game with passion.
I did and I didn't. When I did, while the ball was in play, very passionate. When I went across the goal line, it was like my motor went off because it was all over with. I'd throw the ball to the ref, head to the sidelines, grab the oxygen mask, and I was good.
John, I want to thank you for your time. Congratulations on your Super Bowl, and you are welcome anytime here on Sports Byline.
Ron, thanks for having me.
John Riggins, Hall of Fame running back.